Bonjour mesdames.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning. My name is Bruno Grossi. I'm the Executive Director and Deputy Administrator of the group. And I am delighted to welcome you here on behalf of Econocom's XCOM this morning for the presentation of our annual results for 2017. Welcome to one and all. To get this meeting rolling and to get everyone warmed up a little bit, it's pretty cold out there. In a few seconds, I will be presenting to you the schedule that we have for you today. It's a pretty standard affair. But before that, I would like to say one thing. We are delighted and honored by your recurring presence. We're happy to have so many of you here. And we, this morning, meaning Robert Bouchard, who is right here in front of me, who is our Chief Operating Officer since May. By we, I also mean Galien Touze, who I'm sure you also know. And we also means David Kriev, who is sitting right next to Galien this morning. You may know him a little less well. He is our Director General for Finance. He's our new Director General for Finance. And Martin Bayans, who is the executive head at the company as well, part of the team. And she handles our satellites that I'll be telling you about later. And by we also mean our board of directors. They're not all here. They're busy people. But they are the heads of our P&L business lines. And we also have heads, and I use heads in a kind of old hat way, but we also have the shareholder heads of our satellites that I saw earlier for some of them. We're all delighted to be with you here this morning, standing here in front of you, to share with you some of the highlights and the results of our great year 2017. It was a continuation of the success of our 2013-2017 strategic plan, and we're delighted and very proud with that success. And this great year 2017 also is a great springboard for our upcoming strategic plan for 2018-2022 that we are kicking off this year with enthusiasm and confidence. So here is what we'll be getting up to today. Robert Bouchard will be sharing with us the highlights of the past year and some of the main aggregated figures for financial year 2017. He will remind us of the roadmap that we laid out for the coming 5 years and also the levers that we've identified to achieve our goals. And these are goals that were presented to you if you were with us in October for our Investor Day last year. But Robert will go back over the broad strokes today. Then I'll be back, once Robert is done, to update you on our galaxy. Now, I'm sure you're getting used to the galaxy concept. This is our organization and growth organization system that we selected 4 years ago. And I will also be giving you some very tangible proof of the smooth running of the Galaxy system, which should help you better understand what Econocom has become today. Galien will then be coming up to the stage to run down in a little bit more detail the figures, because I'm sure that that is what you're all here for today. And last but not least, we will have a fourth part, which Robert will be handling. Robert, you'll see, it'll all go very smoothly, and this will be the outlook. So some information on the coming year. And then, of course, we'll be answering your questions. So, Robert, if you would like to come up and take my place, at least for this meeting, You can have it back in just 10 minutes, he says. Good morning, everyone. I'm absolutely delighted to be with you here today this morning. Just as Bruno said, the financial year 2017 has been a solid one for Econocom. We were able to achieve 3 billion in turnover and 104 million in profit. And this has been made possible due to a number of factors that differentiate us from the competition. One of those differentiating factors being our presence in three different businesses: the distribution of IT goods and services, but also financing. So distribution, services, and financing all brought together. And those three things together, well, I believe that we are the only company of Econocom size in Europe to be able to deliver these three services together and to combine them. 2017, as I was saying, was an important year for Econocom. My first point is that this year is the final one for the mutation plan, our previous strategic plan. And the mutation plan had a stated goal of transforming Econocom into a services company. 5 years ago, we were at about 1.5 billion in turnover and 150 million in recurring operating profit. Now, 3 billion, well, 75 million, and 3 billion and more than 150 million in recurring operating profit. So we've doubled the figures for Econocom. We have shifted towards a services-oriented company. So this is the successful delivery of our mutation plan. This is also the beginning of our new strategic plan, E4 Excellence, which was presented in November last year. And I'll be going back over the main cuts and thrusts of it now. It was also a successful year because we were able to convert our ORNAN, which enabled us to significantly reinforce our equity. And we had 7 growth transactions last year to flesh out our innovative business model that we know here as our Galaxy. And I'm going to be telling you more about that as well. As I said just a few minutes ago, we had 3 billion in revenue, 17.5% growth over 2016, and also 11.2% organic growth for the group. We got recurring operating profit of 154.4 million, which is growth of 10.1% once again over 2016, and recurring net profit at 94.5 million, so up 13.8% over the previous year. Econocom is delivering on its strategic plans. In 2007, we launched our Horizon 2012 program, and that program aimed to meet the company's needs for mobility. 2007 was the year of the appearance of the iPhone on the market, which was a complete game changer for mobility. The iPhone all of a sudden enabled people to access the internet from their phones and everything that that meant for mobility. Then tablets came in, laptop computers, portable computers came in more and more after that. So there was a need within IT for our clients, our companies and clients, to address this technological innovation that was coming in and was profiting companies. So Econocom organized to be able to meet that need on the market, and the results came in the figures. 700 million turnover in 2007, which jumped up to 1.575 billion and then 2.98 billion in 2017. So we doubled our turnover, 1.6 billion, which jumped up to 3 in 2017, and our profit increased similarly. Econocom is a family company. My father always wanted to have a family company, and that's the reason for me being here today. I'm very honored to be amongst you. And as I showed through the growth figures, we are working on a long-term sustainable growth model. The decisions that we make are long-term decisions, and that is important in the way you look at us, the way you assess what we're doing. The figures between 2016 and 17 show that we are consistent in our growth and that we know how to reinvent ourselves to be able to meet the needs of our clients. What our clients want is to be able to reap the benefits of the digital revolution. 40 years ago, things started with computers. You know, those huge mainframes that were expensive and heavy. And there was so much metal in these old mainframes that actually the applicable law framework was for metal producing companies. Nowadays, things are very different, and Econocom is meeting the needs for its companies and customers in the same way as 40 years ago. We are building the necessary blocks to be able to bring the necessary services to our customers. And what Econocom does is add extra services and diversifies our portfolio. We had maintenance, extra services, mutations. And nowadays, we have a unique business model, which is called the Galaxy. The Galaxy brings together Econocom's industrial know-how to be able to work with big clients with our satellites that we purchased. We purchased 5 this year. We've got about 20 total, and these satellites are experts in specific fields of digital so that we can deploy with industrial clout their know-how on a wide scale. This is a unique model that we desire to continue to develop and is a great differentiating factor from our competition. As I said at the beginning, we are banking on the combination of services, financing, and distribution all brought together. So remember, we are a long-term financial family company. We have a Galaxy business model that works with industrial capacity and satellites all around the world. And in our very DNA, we combine distribution, services, and financing. Now, a long-term family company. We look after our shareholders, of course, over long periods as well. And this growth, we saw between 2007 and 2017, our share price multiplied by 7, and we increased the number of shares from 206 million to 245 million over that same period. We are careful that all of the transactions that we carry out enable us to keep constant scope for our shareholders over long time periods, as we said. So the E for Excellence plan. The figures are on the left here, and our aim is to go from 3 billion in turnover to 4 billion turnover in 2022, so in 5 years' time. And on the right side, on recurring operating profit, you can see we want to go from 154 million, which we got this year, to 300 million in 2022. These are ambitious but attainable targets, and I'm going to be explaining how we intend to achieve these targets, especially when it comes to recurring operating profit at 300 million. So we have 4 pillars, 4 drivers for this plan, and if you take away just one thing from this meeting, I would like it to be what we're going to do to increase the quality of our delivery and our customer satisfaction. We want to work on the excellence of our delivery and our offering, because today we understand that the people who work with us, the people for whom we work, who need top-of-the-line IT supplies and services, when you buy an iPhone, you enjoy using it. When you install a new set-top box in your home, in just a few minutes, you would expect to be able to watch TV. When you order something on Amazon, it's delivered on time, everything is smooth. And in the professional world, because companies and organizations are entities, bodies that are more complex than physical individuals, things take more time. But here at Econocom, we do not understand why there is still a mismatch between what you can experience personally and what you could experience professionally. So over the next 5 years, what we want to do is to bring those two experiences together. That is the main driver for our plan, and that is what we are going to be pushing very hard for to achieve our goals for our customers and organization. The second growth driver is our offering. Today, our customers want integrated digital solutions that bring together expertise at Econocom and its satellites, and also services, distribution, and financing. Currently, people no longer want to purchase. They no longer want to own. They want to consume. So financing at Econocom no longer is called financing. It's more usage. So we would bring together the solutions offered to a given department in the same way that you would bill a user. And that is what Econocom is all about. We also wish to address a broader market. And by that, I mean everything that is around digital. When you look at big shops or factories, the boundary between industrial and IT is becoming more and more fuzzy. Robots in factories are connected, they're smart. Fridges in supermarkets are smart. Inventory devices are smart as well. And these are markets for Econocom. You no longer have IT, mobility, in the traditional sense. A lot of customers are asking us in their contracts for assets that are connected to their central IT systems. So that's the second thing we're going to be working on to drive growth. The third driver for growth is our satellites, these 20 companies that have joined us. These are companies in which we have a majority stake, but in these satellites, the heads of the company stand side by side with Econocom. Econocom is an entrepreneurial company. My father was an entrepreneur. I still am because I also have my own company. I came to the company about a year and a half ago, and that ability and the pleasure derived from working with people who have accepted to sell a majority stake in their company to help their company grow within the Econocom galaxy is a very strong asset that we have at Econocom, and we have created a professional development platform to help support the growth of these companies within the galaxy. So that's our third growth driver. And finally, we have mergers and acquisitions. We're going to continue acquisitions going forward because there are other fields of expertise out there that we want to give a place to in our portfolio. And we're also a European company, remember. We are legally a European company. And being European for Econocom means that we need to be strong in the UK and in Germany as well. So we want to strengthen financing, distribution, and services in Germany and in the UK. Alongside that, we also want to continue acquisitions of high added value companies. And we are thinking creating a consultancy, digital transformation consultancy brand that would be European-wide, and that way we could provide expertise based on our experience with thousands of clients around Europe. And we also firmly believe that if our jobs tomorrow were to disappear just overnight, what would be left? Well, it would be our expertise left over from the implementation of a digital revolution, and our ability to help people increase profitability and efficiency within their companies. And that is Econocom's mission. Now, the contribution of these four growth drivers, the first driver, as you can see, for recurring operating profit should contribute about 30 to 40 million. The second driver, the growth relays, 40 to 50 million. The third driver should contribute 25 to 35 million to recurring operating profit, and mergers and acquisitions a further 25 to 35 million euros. Now, I'm now going to give the floor to Bruno, who's going to give you some more concrete examples of what we're doing with our clients and tell you about the Galaxy in his own words. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert, for reminding us of our recent results and our ambitions for the next few years. As I said in my introduction, in this new strategic period, it's a new strategic period, we're are working with enthusiasm. After working for a year on the E for Excellence plan, there was a certain form of impatience to really get into the thick of things. And now here we are. And so we are en route towards our next adventure for Econocom, going towards new horizons that Robert's just reminded us of. Where excellence is the key word. Well, aiming for excellence for us is not a sign of arrogance. Econocom is and will be still a company deeply rooted in realities, in pragmatism, and also in the culture of doing. We like this pragmatic culture. And with this ambition for excellence and with this mindset, we have designed our response to the demands that we're hearing from our clients. They expect more and more integrated digital solutions that address business issues. They clearly ask for more end-to-end responsibility on our part. And increasingly, as Robert said, they want billing by usage. And in order to do that, in order to address these very clear requests and very pressing requests, you have to control every link in the chain, in the design chain, the production chain, the deployment chain, and also all the financial engineering on our side, to really match the business model of our clients. The excellence that we're aiming for is also the excellence that will meet these demands. And you're all aware of that. Sometimes contradictory demands made by our very large corporate clients. They want support both by solid, robust, and powerful groups, but at the same time, is sort of a key word in French politics. It's sort of the tagline of the new French president. And they also want very agile, very responsive players, and that's rather a startup feature. Therefore, with that in mind, in January 2014, and starting from a good intuition by Jean-Louis Bouchard, as usual, and under his strong impetus, we started building up our galaxy, our new growth and organizational and development model for value creation that you've become familiar with now. And this is what we describe with the galaxy metaphor. I'll try and rephrase what Robert said, and very consistently. So at the center, you've got this growing planet that really leverages its ecosystem, a planet with the legacy business that we fully own, the three business lines that you talked about and that fully leverage the current climate created by the galaxy. That's the galaxy core. And year after year, investment after investment, we've enriched the ecosystem by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs who founded their own startups. Very often they were pure players in a very specific and specialized area that we need in digital. And we thought that it was easier, quicker, more efficient, more in line with the times to go through an association rather than having our own spin-off or a 100% acquisition. Therefore, we have synergies in our offering, in our sales offering with these Galaxy affiliates and full synergies with the planet. It's a fairly complicated model to operate, and for that, we've formalized rules, a codex of the rights and duties of all parties that all parties have agreed to, and for the moment it works rather well. The climate, the atmosphere in the galaxy seems to be fertile and welcoming. Planets and satellites alike are growing at a fairly steep pace. Entrepreneurs who embrace the model really subscribe fully to it, and they want to have a lasting presence in it. And once an agreement reaches its expiration date, and once they can exercise an exit option, well, for the moment, and I mean, knock on wood here, in most cases, there is a renegotiation to go for another contracting period. And there hasn't been any case where we had deliberate exits by entrepreneurs. And that's also very, very important, I think. We've seen extra attractiveness in the galaxy for talents. Of course, there's a digital talent war, and this model is quite attractive. Therefore, we can attract the talents that we need with people who either wish to work for a large company or for smaller companies. And so we can reach a good balance of skills between structures of different sizes and people who look for a climate that's conducive to entrepreneurship and that's very favorable to risk-taking. Let's look at a few figures that are specific to this new concept that are illustrative of the contracts that we wouldn't have won without this model. We've selected four examples that are good illustrations of what I've just said, or at any rate, that's what I would like to develop. A few figures. You may say, well, these are all small companies, it's all well and good, but what does that really mean? This is what it looks like. This is really fact-based. We started it in January 2014, at the end of FY 2014. It was still anecdotal, 2% contribution to group sales. And little by little, we met the goal that we announced in June 2015, when we had that investor day devoted to the Galaxy model. Now we are talking about a consolidated contribution of 16%. If you look at the pro forma figures for the acquisitions that we carried out in 2017, we'd be talking about 19% rather. It's no longer anecdotal. The weight and the influence that can have inside the planet and in terms of image is not in direct proportion to this figure, but it's even higher. It's also important for you to really get a feel of the importance that has acquired for us and our clients. We were able to outsource a number of skills hub with critical mass. If you look at the very trendy issue of cybersecurity, in 3 years we were able to create, with investment and then a merger of all the forces inside the planet, we could create one of the current market leaders. We're in the top five with digital security. And Exoprobe, one of the leaders in cyber security, the security of connected objects and information systems. And we're not going to stop here. We are quite ambitious when it comes to security. Taking another example, Microsoft Platform Services, there with one M&A operation and by merging group strengths, we were able fairly quickly and fairly convincingly, you'll see that Microsoft is entrusting us with one of its main assets, and with one example, we were able to create one of the main direct competitors of Avanade in France, and we're not going to stop there, we'll go international. And also in mobility, we had a lot of skills in mobility. We acquired some wonderful companies in this area. And by organizing it and by merging some activities in France, in Spain, in the UK now, we were able to build very serious competitors and sometimes leaders, as in France, for the development of mobile applications, be it for industry or services. And we could give you countless more examples, but I'll let you discover them for yourselves. This is really the next level. We have masses of skills that really let us punch above our weight with bigger projects, thanks to these transactions that may sometimes have seemed a bit small, but that was the purpose we had in mind as early as January 2014, because we thought that that was the way forward, that was the most appropriate for our resources back then and our culture. Today, well, you can see the figures. Satellites contribute for a bit less than 480 million euros in consolidated revenues in 2017 figures, and Galleon will come back to it. What I wanted to show you is the projection of the figures for the plan, the E for Excellence plan, by the plan's end. There, it's no longer anecdotal. This is where the model really comes into its own, and this is where it really makes sense. We think that between organic growth in the sort of stable of acquisitions that we've made and the other acquisitions that we'll make in the future, will reach roughly 1 billion euros compared to 4 billion that we were talking of before, with an average profitability higher than the whole organization, and we expect it to be higher than 8%. Of course, we can always do better, but we should remain humble. And first, we need to deliver this goal, and then we'll see where the future takes us. These are figures that are showing you that this phenomenon is on the is now underway. It's not going to stop there, and it will have a structural influence on the Econocom group. Examples now. Well, very often, catching a plane is hell. I don't know whether it's going to be a breeze now with Econocom, but anyway, we've recently signed an end-to-end comprehensive contract with the third or fourth largest airports in France. It's Toulouse Airport, the third largest. Well, we won't buy the 10% network to be bought by the Chinese. will be happy with making sure that users, travelers, or people working on the airport platform in Toulouse have a happier experience than they used to have thanks to technology. Happier, quicker, more secure for all information systems, be it for protection, for luggage management and ticketing and entry. We're in charge of all these information systems down to applications that let you book your car park slot. So for that, we've put together a short video, and I'll ask them to send the video about our end-to-end contract with Toulouse Airport so that you can understand what we're doing there with, I hope, great success. And there's the way the video is designed is quite funny.
These days, the traveller experience is totally digital. You buy your ticket and book your parking space online, check in and board digitally. With digital, it's easy to get off to a flying start. To keep pace with these new users, Toulouse-Blagnac Airport, France's third largest regional airport, offers travellers a simple, pleasant experience. A connected guided journey which saves time for travellers and turns any waiting time into a comfortable, relaxing experience. Excuse me, sir. You really have to go now? Your flight's about to leave. This is why the airport is investing in a number of projects, such as a new shopping centre, a new security check system, new boarding areas and a four-star hotel. The sky's the limit.
So, and liftoff.
With traffic on the increase and habits changing constantly, how can Toulouse-Blagnac Airport leverage digital to ensure reliability, security and performance for airlines and passengers? By having complete control of the monitoring tools and the technologies to ensure faultless running of the airport at all times.
Wow!
Displaying real-time flight information, automated baggage handling, reliable security checks and printing out boarding cards quickly requires deploying highly effective IT systems. We're talking the Rolls-Royce of infrastructure, the Mona Lisa of digital, the Patrick Swayze of equipment, and focusing the user experience on excellence.
Good job.
To ensure the airport runs smoothly, airlines and travellers can rely on a faultless IT system and the responsiveness of Econocom's teams 24/7. Because airports never sleep and can't afford to make mistakes, they needed the best.
I make this look good.
In short, Econocom's USP is that we guarantee an optimum service for users by helping Toulouse-Blagnac become the airport of the future.
Bon, personnellement, moi...
Well... Personally, I'm not particularly keen on Patrick Swayze, but he seems to be quite a reference. Well, I was only aware of Point Break, but I think that was a clip from Dirty Dancing. But well, you can see that this is incredibly close to what Robert was talking about. In the enterprise world, we need to get closer to the B2C experience that we have on a daily basis. But if we want to be at the core of the technological modernization of organizations like airports that we are in contact with every day, we need that excellence mindset. This ability to be fully committed end-to-end, that ability that we have to bill for our services based on the value created and the way our clients use it, and to really have sensors in all areas of digital. Another example here, this is really happening backstage. A client that doesn't want to be named, but you'll probably recognize them, the main non-food discount retailer in France with about 500 stores. And their issue was fairly simple. For all of their staff handling inventory and traceability of all incoming and outgoing flows, shrinkage and so on, they entrusted us with end-to-end management of their digital and technological platform, and to respond to that request, we needed skills from the planet and skills and features from some of our satellites. In that case, it was Rayonnance, because there were a lot of toughened PDAs to be developed. We needed to develop applications on that. And you also need to maintain all that. You need to finance it. And here, that was the planet's job. You can see that we were really able to be really spot on with our delivery model, and that we could really align with our client's hallmark. Another partnership that shows the trust that Microsoft is giving us. And without the Infini satellite that really has all of our Microsoft know-how, and without the robustness and the sheer size of the planet financing and distributing Microsoft products and services, we wouldn't have been selected. And yet we were selected by Microsoft to be their exclusive de facto distributor in Europe, excluding Germany, where they have a bigger partner, but we are the sole distributor in Europe almost for HoloLens. And here we're no longer talking about the image of yesteryear for Econocom. These are augmented reality goggles, so surgeons can have access to directly to info, or mechanics can have all the repair data that they need for information and education. Applications will be wonderful. Here you're really talking about something that is real cool. It's really nice. And that's something that Econocom could really get on board with thanks to our model. And here a short video about it. What's really great about such a partnership is that you've got Microsoft trusting us with the distribution of this iconic product for companies. It can't go through anyone else than Econocom. With that way, we can unite all startups. There are already 9 with which we're working, developing applications. So this is not a capital tie, but it's just a cooperation agreement. And it's anything but anecdotal, because we've already got about 30 contracts with big names. Well, there's Renault for Renault Sport, Framatome, Airbus, Swedish company, ABB, PSA. You can really imagine all the great applications behind that, and also big overriding trend behind it. Thank you, Microsoft. I saw Jerome in the room, and I will be there for you. And last example. We talked about that 2 years ago. We've reused it for those who already saw it 2 years ago to show how it all works with the client, and that may be interesting for you. This is really a big blue-chip global insurance company for which we've been working for a long time. We started with vertical services, fairly traditional ones, and gradually with a more and more elaborate and developed sales approach, and it takes time, as you can see, we were able to convince the clients to stack up, and I'm really using that metaphor on purpose, to stack up the services, and they really like to have a one-stop shop provider, and that's why in 2016 we could have some quite decent turnover with them. And in 2016 we told them, well, this is no longer the way you need to work. If you agree, we'll rather have a single contract and no longer any financing or distribution contracts. Well, you have a service contract. You'll use digital energy for a single contract and we'll bill you by use. Well, it takes a bit of time because you're talking to people who would spontaneously say yes, but then you need to deliver with purchasing and IT. But we've beefed up our USPs and contracts case. And here you can see that the volumes are getting quite interesting indeed. Client stickiness is, of course, obvious. And the dialogue that you have with them is no longer the same as if it was just negotiating unit contracts. We're talking about quality, excellence, and value. This is the reality of what we've been doing more and more for big-name contracts. I wanted to talk about that because it's really the right moment for you to become aware of that when we are embarking on our E for Excellence plan. And we'll carry on with this approach. So that's the result in 2018. We'll further increase our billing volume, but with a contract of a completely different nature because it's a pay-per-use service contract. So we'll carry on enriching our model because although a lot of things are going to change, this model was confirmed by Robert. It was really fully embraced by our clients and entrepreneurs. So that's not going to change. We'll carry on with this selective M&A strategy. Small operations, but that all add up to large numbers. About 25% of group sales by the plan's end. That's not small. 1 billion euros in digital. And this year we had another few examples and we've already got operations in the pipeline for 2018. Well, of course, we can't answer any direct questions about who they are specifically, but these are operations that were carried out. AsierNet, about the integration of big data centers, a very strong partnership with Cisco, a digital agency that was acquired by Alterway. I can see the founder of Alterway here. Thank you, Philippe, for being with us today. A software publisher in data mining and data analytics, and a big multimedia operator in Netherlands and Belgium. They were bored in their US mother company, and now they're having fun with us. And the boss is a great guy. He couldn't attend today's presentation, but it's always great to have such operations. And also, the seven that Robert was talking about earlier, we are going outside of our traditional borders. That's a strategic goal for the group. So we had entrepreneurial transactions in the UK and in Germany. Jade, JTRS. Jade is in professional mobility, what's called crowd Wi-Fi. When you enter a store, you're recognized. They push coupons and vouchers to you to give you a personalized experience. It's a marketing technology that's quite breathtaking. It's very effective. And EnergyNet in Germany were quite happy to step into multimedia B2B distribution, especially of Apple products. And, well, the more to come, that we won't really explain what it's all about, but there will be some press releases about big operations this year. Those are the tangible results I wanted to share with you and what I wanted to explain so that you can really see how healthy the galaxy is and what the weight of the satellites is now. And now the moment you've all been waiting for with Galien and figures and explanations, always with a lot of relevance. She's always laser focused. Over to her. I'll give her the floor. Thanks for your attention.
Bonjour à tous.
Hello everyone. Thank you, Bruno, for that presentation of the galaxy model that we're working with and for your ever-present enthusiasm. As I'm sure you've understood, Bruno plays an important role in coordinating investment strategy across the satellite. He is the one who identifies the satellites and also the person who gets them on board and gets the entrepreneurs themselves to join the Econocom adventure. Now I'd like to come to a number of figures which should show the relevance of our development model. Revenue for the company, 2.98 million euros, and that shows the hybrid growth of the company, 17.5%, with organic growth of 11.2%. 3 billion, now that is an important figure to remember, of course, and it shows how we were able to achieve our goals that we set 5 years ago. We even went beyond the goals we set at the time. We wanted to achieve pro forma 3 billion in 2017. This is now a published 3 billion. So I'm going to be a little bit less modest than Robert was. We went above and beyond our targets, and our 2017 guidance included organic growth of more than 5%, whereas here we are actually at 11.2%. So once again, I think that it's fair to say that we've gone above and beyond our stated goals. This growth dynamic is driven, as Robert and Bruno said, by a number of trends within the market, which are driving our growth overall at Econocom. Of course, the digital transformation market, but also the presence of use over ownership. But there are also catalyzers that are specific to Econocom. Bruno talked about our satellite strategy, but there are others such as our solution integrator strategy, which enables us to offer solutions to our customers that involve all three of our fields of expertise, so we can handle complete solutions that handle all of the complex issues related to them. Remember on revenue that our three activities contribute to this solid growth in revenue, as all of them put in organic growth near or around 10%. A specificity to our growth is organic growth. It is remarkable as it is strong, but also remarkable because it is not linear. As you can see behind me, we have organic growth by semester. Now, we're very often compared to United States companies, so they have multi-year contracts, and they put in figures month after month, so they have linear growth of their turnover. That's not the case for Econocom, because a lot of our businesses do not rely on that kind of system. Our distribution, for example, accounts for 20% of our overall turnover at the company. Integration services account for 20% of our revenue for services, and we also, of course, have rental, which accounts for 46% of turnover. In our rental businesses, we account for margins when we deliver to the customer. So all of that revenue in IFRS norms comes in across the length of the contract. And that can lead to a certain amount of volatility in our organic growth. So if you sign a contract on the 29th of June or the 2nd of July, that can lead to very different figures at the end of the quarter. But remember that the dynamic for the group overall is exactly the same. So that is why we would like to invite you to think in a medium-term logic, so 9 to 12 months when you analyze our performance. That will stop you from being disappointed when we have a poor quarter such as Q2 last year, but also avoid any excessive enthusiasm when we put in exceptional growth. For example, on Q4 in 2017, we had 20% organic growth. So I would invite you to take a step back and to not expect that kind of organic growth every quarter. Recurring operating profit, 154.4 million euros, up 10.1%. with a margin of 5.2% on revenue. This is the third consecutive year that we have had two-figure growth in ROP, and it fits with the guidance that we announced at the beginning of the year, and it's in fact a little bit over the stated targets from 5 years ago. We were aiming for more than 154 million ROP at the time. As you may know, this year, and unlike for revenue, the profit is a little bit more split between our business lines, but that is also one of the strengths of our business model, the fact that we can leverage our various businesses when some others are down. That's something we've shown year on year, and once again, it has shown itself to be effective for the financial year 2017. Finally, on recurring operating profit, I'd like you to remember that this performance has been achieved, but not at the expense of our investment. Investment accounts for about 10% of the overall ROP, and we are investing in new offerings. We have doubled in size over 5 years, which means we need to structure, we need to continue to transform, and that's something we continue to do over 2017. And as we have already stated, that will continue for 2018, which is the first year of our next plan, and it will help us lay the groundwork for the success of IFA Excellence and to be able to reap the benefits in the final years of the plan. Now, a breakdown by business line, starting, of course, with the most important one in terms of turnover, technology management and financing. Turnover is 1.4 billion. We've seen excellent growth in ROP, so an excellent year overall for technology management and financing. This is a trend which is being driven, as we said earlier, from fundamental shifts within the market, and also through an initiative that we took 4 years ago, which was to create a refinancing company that was internal to the group, EDFL, which aims to strengthen growth within the company and also to provide more complex contracts that require more financial engineering or that are a little bit atypical, and our financial partners, at least, first of all, do not want to finance that kind of project. This EDFL component is vital to the functioning of the company and accounts for about 50% of our growth dynamic within technology management and financing. So a catalyst for growth, but it is not all of the growth, it's just half. 192 million euros contribution to turnover of TMF this year. Also, for growth of TMF, Robert mentioned it earlier, we have diversification of this activity to modernization projects as well, which go beyond IT. We want to make available to our customers all of our skill sets in engineering and device rental, so beyond traditional IT. This is also a component that contributes to growth and should help you better understand where we're coming from. We have decided this year to show you the industrial residual values, so assets that are different from our traditional IT components. So 141 million euros, 42% of our overall purchases, so not that much. And just 10% of that is rental. So this is things like robots, drones, food cold chain devices, medical devices as well. So new types of assets that we will be following the residual value of in an isolated way so that we can be fully transparent on the way we function. And finally, the size of the portfolio. Just to give you an idea of the size, rental is 5.6 billion in original purchase, 2.6 billion ongoing, and those two things are significantly up this year with growth of more than 6 and 5% respectively. And we're asking our clients to help improve this base. So the fact that we've got strong growth within our contract means that we'll have good results in the future. Services now. For services, we have a roundabout year with interesting changes in growth. We have 25% growth with 13% organic growth with ROP, which is actually a little bit less strong. This is being driven by big contracts that Bruno and Robert mentioned, tens of millions of euros in contracts that Econocom and Ozetis would not have been able to sign on their own. But thanks to the overall size of the group and our image, we are now able to sign these big contracts. That's important because delivery is a more demanding field, which is very important for us. It's good for our image. And also, as Bruno showed earlier, we are able to go to these big customers and help grow the Econocom model with them and sell other types of services from our satellites and other business lines. So this is very promising, and it's a great source of satisfaction for the group to be selected amongst the big players of the field. Another contributor to our turnover, as Bruno said, is our ability to sign cross-cutting offers which spread across our planet and our satellites. And also we have the dynamic, which is linked to the satellites. Satellites account for about 40% of the turnover of services as a whole. They contribute to growth of the company, but the planet is also growing with growth at about 2%. So the planet is growing at the same speed as the market, but our satellites are playing their role in accelerating that growth overall. For profitability, ROP is at 43.4 million euros. And these big contracts, as I was saying, have an initial negative impact on margins, because when you get into these big contracts, you have ramp-up costs. You need to recover scopes that has been handled by other suppliers previously. You will have usage rate that is not necessarily optimized in the first stages, so it will cost you for the first couple of years, for the first 12 or 24 months, and then after that, you are able to leverage the investment in the final years of the contract. In 2017, it cost us. It will continue to cost us in 2018. There is another thing that is a source of satisfaction, but also complexity for us, which is the cross-cutting contracts across the planet and the satellites. Now, of course, it's a great source of satisfaction because that's what we're all about. We're not a financial investor. We're here to leverage the skills of our satellite and also of our planet. But after that, you also need to be able to get the planets and the satellites to work together efficiently. And this can sometimes be a little bit of an issue. Sometimes you need to invest to achieve the quality of service that's expected by our customers. And this can weigh down profitability, and that was the case in 2017. In a more positive light, however, we do have great outlooks for improving our margin in services going forward. We're at 4.3% this year already. For products and solutions, a remarkable year for products and solutions in turnover and also in profit, with a third year of strong growth, double-digit growth, 13% growth. So increased market share for our teams in products and solutions. We've also seen excellent increase in ROP. The reasons for this are related to the quality of management. I don't know whether they are here today. I can't see them. But once again, this is due to the quality of management we have in products and solutions, and also our positions that we took on some of the most promising fields. And we maybe got the jump on our competition on mobility, for example. For example, multimedia, which are areas which are driving our growth dynamic today. In multimedia, we developed in Spain with the acquisition of Caverin. Our acquisition of Caverin has been very satisfactory for us because for the last 2 years, we have seen excellent growth and excellent synergies with our rental services with Caverin. And I would say that probably distribution and services and distribution and rental are the easiest synergies to achieve, and Caverin is a case in point. We have tried to reproduce this success in Benelux. As Bruno was saying, we purchased Bies, 100% acquisition there. This is a company that's active in Belgium and in the Netherlands, and we're expecting good synergies from them in those regions as well. We also have EnergyNet from Germany. Bruno mentioned them as well. We will be rolling out these activities in new countries going forward, including in the UK and Germany, as we mentioned earlier. These are two strategic countries for the current Plan E for Excellence. Now, a few words on the consolidated income statement. Don't worry, we already talked about ROP and turnover. However, I would like to underline the increase in our net profit, 176 7%. That's not something you see every day. We have a positive mass effect. Last year we had a Lernan market effect that was able to be converted this year. As you can see, we have ROP, which is up 14% as well, €94.5 million. This is an increase which is above that of the ROP itself, which shows that financial results and also tax were properly handled this year. And we have seen a decrease on non-recurring elements this year for net profit, which has played into net profit. And also our country mix was favorable this year as well for currency. I'd also like to talk about the recurring net profit per share. We created a number of shares this year, so we diluted the share base, 9% of the capital in this case. And despite that, the recurring net profit per share is up 5.4% this year. It's a great source of satisfaction for us as well. In this income statement, you can also see non-recurring components you had anticipated for these, 0.7% of turnover, so €20 million, which are related to the transformation of the group, which is something that's required in the services industry as a whole. These non-recurring costs are related, as I said, to transformation in services, but also our sites. We need to get people working closer together and to have our teams working in more attractive venues. HR is core to the group, of course, and it is one of our differentiating factors for the company. We also have, of course, non-recurring costs related to our M&A strategy for integration and acquisition, even if we do not integrate our satellites as much as some. Now, net book financial debt, €279 million, which only is 0.5 times our EBITDA. We only have €200 million in that net debt, which are secured by rental contracts. So this is debt that will pay for itself, because we do have rental income that will offset the reimbursement of that debt. So this debt is very different in nature to traditional bank debt. The first thing to remember here, gross cash, €102 million. At the end of the year, we had banking position for our treasury, €102 million. This is important to remember, as this gives us some wiggle room. And you also need to remember to add €290 million in available credit lines, 180 of those secured and guaranteed. And this is something that enables us to be more level-headed when we do business. Two bond purchases. So Ornan has disappeared. And something that I did want to mention was that, as you can see, 154 refinanced contracts. So these are rental contracts that have been refinanced with a number of you, which has an impact on the group. With the default rate of our clients, it is likely that we will never have to actually pay that debt back. If we did have to, it would be for a very minimal part of that amount. But it is net debt from an accounting standpoint. Up to you whether you want to handle that as net debt as is or not. Now, changes in net debt over 12 months. Something that came up a lot since the beginning of this presentation, this year is an investment year for us. As you can see, we invested €163 million in operations. And by that, I mean investment that was made in our rental activities, so EDFL, the internal refinancing company that we have, and in structural investment and M&A, as I mentioned, in the satellites especially. So €163 million invested in operations. We also have €51 million in our payback strategy, which takes two forms. So dividend, in this case, it's not exactly a dividend, but it's similar, for €24 million. And €27 million went into share buybacks, as you know. We do make sure to properly manage the dilution of our shareholder base, and this is an asset for the group. We have 3.9% of our shares that are held by the company, 57 million euros in value, and we will be sure to be smart in our use of that money to better manage dilution rates, which means that we will be able to handle external growth or management initiatives to tie our future to the future of these companies. And something that I didn't want to sweep under the rug was the changes in BFR, which is down 80 million euros. It was positive 70 million euros last year. This is WCR, BFR. And why are we seeing that change? Well, first of all, as you saw at the end of our Q3 communique, we had a big challenge with an important quarter for us, and we decided to prioritize the business over cash. And the reason for that is that it's difficult to have split goals for our teams, and it meant that we could be a little bit more relaxed in terms of debt because we are still looking at ratios that are under control. So that explains the variation here on working capital requirement. Another thing that I'd like you to remember, which we saw in January, which is a non-recurring component, last year we were able to optimize our cash flow situation. Jean-Louis Bouchard up here had been very open with you. We had 40 or 50 million euros that were directly tied to an unfavorable base effect at the beginning of the year. Now, what should you expect for the coming year? We have identified a number of fields in which we could improve, especially our satellites. Our satellites are less used to the in-detail cash flow management that we do, so we've seen some stock management problems there, so we are looking to improve those, and we believe that we will be able to offset these issues with the business dynamic. We're expecting to see neutral variation, therefore, on WCR next year. You should also expect a coming investment year, so debt is likely to be at least similar to the levels we're at this year, but we'll continue to guarantee that the ratios remain satisfactory for us and for you as well. Now, the balance sheet, just one thing, equity. It's the main thing I'd like to underline here. Onan has driven up our equity by 200 million euros, so a solid balance sheet for this year, the first year of our new strategic plan. I also talked about owned shares, 57 million euros in assets there, which are not put forward as such, but we'll make sure we use them properly. And also we have compensation per share now. At our shareholder general meeting on the third Tuesday of May, we will be voting not on a dividend, but 12 centimes per share nonetheless, despite the increase in the number of shares circulated. So once again, compensation per share is up, and that shows how confident we are in our future. And just to wrap things up, a structural component here are shareholders. We talked about the conversion of Onan this year, which has enabled us to circulate a number of extra shares and to reinforce the float. And also we have family shareholders that are very important. Jean-Louis Bouchard's share is important, but Robert is also an important shareholder for the company, and that is important for us in our ability to implement long-term strategies and to draw in entrepreneurs into our Econocom galaxy. So, Robert, I would like to give you the floor just to wrap up this segment and to give us the outlook for 2018.
Well, it's now my task to tell you about our feeling for the year 2018. You've seen
illustrations of our strategy given to you by Bruno, the detailed 2017 figures with Galian. And our feeling about fiscal year 2018 is that we are going to deliver higher revenues than our peers' growth still in 2018, and recurring operating profit will grow compared to 2017. This is the end of this presentation. Of course, there will be a Q&A. So I now invite you to ask your questions. I'll also ask Bruno and Galian to join me. And, well, you can ask all the questions that you want about geographies, about the business lines. We'll answer directly, or the various heads of business lines can give you more details to really be comprehensive in the answers that you can expect. A practical word about the method to ask any and all questions you may want. Just one question at a time, and not stack up questions, because sometimes we tend to lose track if there are too many questions. Didier. Good morning. Just a clarification about the satellite and galaxy strategy. The limit is the maximum number of satellites that you can have. And what about the cross-cutting elements? I'm sorry, that was two questions. But you know I don't like to follow your rules. Well, listen. We haven't theorized all of that. First of all, about the number. Yes, the microphone does work. About the number of satellites, that can go up or down. Why down? Well, because I'll exclude the bad case of an industrial crash. That could go down because there's a maturity in the business, and they're so close to a planet activity that, in agreement with the entrepreneur, we could have a merger between the satellite and the planet. That would be an almost natural change. And there can also be some grouping, some clustering of the satellites. Still, your question remains. I think that we've got about 15 brands, about 20 satellites, 15 brands. This is a brand portfolio, and in other industries you've got great examples that are maybe not managed easily because, as I said, it was an interesting exercise. Small companies with big egos and a big company with a big ego, so you have to spend time managing it all. But I think that the size that we have and the number that we have now is quite manageable. Regarding the representation of sizes and sales, that will be 20 to 25%. That's our best estimate at present. And there are synergies. There are lots of synergies. Just look at cybersecurity with digital security and infrastructure security with Exaprod. They're always working together. Look at Infini. And for Microsoft services, well, large IT management contracts, there are very few where Microsoft is not present. There are more and more synergies between satellites and the planet, but also in between the satellites. And so if you're interested, we could give you more and more examples about practical cases in such meetings. It's not at all theoretical. Increasingly, these people are working together, and that explains why also there is very strong organic growth. It's sometimes very impressive. Good morning, Antoine Huchet, Exane. I have two questions, but in order. The first one is about services. What is the 2018 outlook in terms of margin? You talked about a year of CapEx, ramp-ups for big contracts that you've signed. Could we start seeing signs of an improvement in H2 this year, or is it rather something for 2019, improvement in services margins? Well, to give you an answer, we have Laurent Runil here in the room, who's now the head of services at Econocom. And I think that he's by far the best person to talk about this improvement in profitability. Good morning, everyone. I'm Laurent Runil. I had the honor and pleasure of taking over the management of services activities in France and on the planet. Well, to answer your question, we don't want to set a guidance for the year 2018 in terms of margin improvement for the service activity, but we've already launched a number of very operational actions to try and contribute to the long-term improvements. As you were discussing and Robert talked about that, we have some very well-structured and transformational program organization so that we can improve our margins from year two onwards on the big contracts that we've signed. We will have some investment to make in year one of these contracts. We've also got a big project underway to improve the management of our inter-contracts about IT staffing so that we can try and match demand better and also streamline our staff around big skills. There's a third project that does have an impact, being more and more involved in the bundleization of the bundling of the positioning that we had. There's a presentation on big references in the insurance world that was made. When you're at the core of these projects, Planet Services improve their profitability, and of course that improves the whole logic for the galaxy. And there's a project on operational excellence and delivery. We've launched a major program. We're helped by a consulting firm for that. And you know that when a client is happy, usually they propose to pay the price that matches the quality of service delivered. We launched that over 3 months ago, and we hope that it will improve profitability eventually. Thank you. My second question is about profit margins in TMF. For purchasing, you had earnings of about 100 bips on the changing assumptions for residual value. Could you give us the impact for H2? Well, it's simple. There was no impact, as we said. It was an H1 only event, and for the whole year, it's about 30 basis points for the profitability of rental. For those of you who are not so up to date, we changed the valuation of our residual value on our TRO contracts. We had a very conservative approach so far on these contracts, and with experience, with better understanding and better control of the use that our clients make of this type of contracts, we've decided to align our residual value policy with what we do in the rest of the group for these contracts, and that had an impact only in H1, not in H2, and for the full year that was about 30 basis points. And about the regularity of organic growth, I can understand that when you outsource risk to a bank in TMF, well, you can focus on delivery. But when you insource with your own bank, doesn't that smooth out organic growth? The answer. It may sound counterintuitive, but no, in IFRS, it's the same accounting. We look at the updated or discounted rent chain and the margin when you deliver the solution to the client, and it's the same accounting scheme. And for TMF investment, 56 million euros, what's that about? Is that the natural model in the business or one-off investments? I don't get it. The answer, it's investment in our internal refinancing company, EDFL, that carries in its own balance sheet a number of contracts, the contracts that we agreed to have on our balance sheet for the fiscal year 2017. In November, we announced that we would carry on investing 50 to 60 million euros on average per year over the duration of the plan to help this internal refinancing company contribute to the internal dynamic. But it's not debt, is the question? The answer, yes, it's still debt. But you're referring to another thing, that is the contracts refinanced with our partners but with recourse on Econocom. These contracts, well, we won't have to repay them to our financing partners unless our clients default. That's what I was talking about when I said that it's a debt of a slightly nature, of slightly different nature than banking debt. Stéphane Dinos de Petrocam, on one of the slides, you talked about the increase in operating margin for services of about 5.6 to 8% by 2022, which is more or less in line with the improvement in the operating margin for the whole group. But you also have the distribution business that sorts of caps margins. Maybe you could have a stronger momentum for margins. You're talking about satellites, Stéphane, not services. I think Bruno said that we could always do better. It's not prohibited and it's not really relevant to give you some easily analyzed items about the profitability of the satellites. Why? Well, because the model is working not just in services but also in the other businesses. And in the sales of satellites right now, there are about 30% of revenues linked to distribution type of activities, about half of the revenues from our service and integration activities are closer to distribution. Now we have satellites in distribution like EnergyNet. I'm thinking about Caverin. OMB is not a satellite. You're the father of it, but it's not a satellite. So that gives you a profitability level that that's closer to the overall mix of the group than pure service activity. And it's true that the margin levels are quite different. The lowest is around 2%. That's a satellite that was recently acquired that still has a lot of room for improvement and will try to leverage synergies. And the highest in more state-of-the-art services that are in excess of 10 or 20% in recurring operating profits. So there's a wide range of profitability and different activities amongst the satellites themselves. Thank you. Good morning, Pierre Godel, Paris CF. You explained, and rightly so, that you should listen to customer demands and they want to consume usage more. And there's also a strong demand by corporate clients to consume responsibly and sustainably. Everything that's done about extending the life cycle of products, reuse, eventual recycling. What do you think about that and how are you meeting these requests and demands? Well, it's something important that I forgot to mention and I'd like to thank you for talking about that. That's in a second example of this non-food discount retailer, because part of our contract and what made us win the contract is that we are recovering old hardware, reconditioning it and reselling, and we're splitting the proceeds of that second life of hardware with the client. This is something that we have clearly in mind. And the organization, either directly or via partnerships or established recycling chains for this hardware that will have more and more usage value over the long term, that will be part of our offering. This is a really important point that I forgot to mention earlier. Hi, good afternoon, Nicolas David Otto, Securities. In the press release, I have two questions. The first one, in the release, you talked about the impact of IFRS 15 with an earnings announcing impact of about 60 basis points. Could you explain what was most impacted out of the three activities? That was my first question. So We announced that there was a 300 million impact on revenues. This is distribution that's impacted by that. That's about two-thirds of that figure, and also the integration service business that has a distribution aspect that was also impacted. And so for services, you'll probably have less volatility in the future than what you had in 2017. We're not anticipating any significant impact on other activities. Okay, and so for services, the question that flows from it is whether we could have some color on the growth case for services, the pipeline that you have, and there will be less integration and less volatility in these contracts, and so you could make more of a commitment, give us more guidance? The answer, indeed, as we said, we've signed a number of big contracts recently. That was in 2017, and that will have a significant impact on the next few years, the next 5 or 6 years. These contracts very often follow a logic where different activities were integrated in the bids that we made to our clients that were selected. And now the profitability improvement is expected from year 2 or year 3 for some contracts, with a strong improvement in margins eventually. To round off this presentation, we are expecting a rebound in all of the planet service activity when it comes to profitability for three main reasons. We were talking about operating excellence, where we'll get closer and closer to B2C standards. We also have a very strong commitment culture that was developed over the last few years for these comprehensive projects with big contracts, but also for the big market, which is very essential, really essential and profitable for us when it comes to services. And we're also now working on a convergent basis with the whole of the galaxy. As I said, our profitability scheme will further improve margins and services when we can manage to work with and within the galaxy. And a third quick question, if I may. Since they're coming in succession, about margins. With the earnings enhancing aspect of IFRS 11 that you'll start applying, IFRS 15 that you'll apply in 2018, but there's no long-term goal to improve margins. Yes, it's not included. That's why we're talking a lot about the 300 million euros, the doubling up in recurring operating profit in absolute terms. We'll not overuse these standards impacts, and that's why we'll stick to the 300 million euros. All right. It seems that the source of questions has dried up. Well, we are probably running a little late, and all apologies for that. 5 minutes only. Well, any more questions? Well, in that case, Robert, maybe we can wrap up here and invite our guests and friends outside for a drink. Thank you so much.